Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And welcome to The Kitchen Table, the show that takes you to various places around the world and to various issues using food. Today you are joined by Patrick.
Myself, Patrick. Hello. First time here with Kitchen Table. I'm really, really excited. I get to be among such a caliber. Such caliber.
Amazing.
Well, it's beautiful because I get to chill out in a new show instead of being all grumpy and moody on Is Nothing Sacred.
Oh, tell us what you really think, Patrick. Wow. You're also joined by Christian. Hi.
Hello.
And Shannon is going to have a bash at paneling, so there might be a few glitches.
But just go with that, because apparently that's what we're all doing today.
It's with love. Mm-hmm. It's with love. The glitches are with love.
Yes. The word is love. We want to say a special thank you to Stephen and Michelle, who are on the front desk. And to kick off our Australia Day special, we want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast today, its people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to elders past and present. Today is Australia Day. I'm Shannon Gillies. This is Christian Vega and Patrick Whelan-Smith. And
Hi.
And today we explore Australia Day through Australia's popular cuisine, everything from kangaroo to pies. We talk about those who mark Australia Day as Invasion Day, and we talk to Chris from America and Tash from England, who are about to celebrate their first ever Australian Day.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're on The Kitchen Table here on Joy 94.9. You're joined by Shannon and Patrick and Christian.
And today we've been eating kangaroo sausages and I think discussing the best way to, you know, basically take out your national emblem.
There was a bit of contention outside talking about eating the national emblem because we were discussing about whether they can be farmed or not, which we found that they are being farmed in Queensland, but it's not. But we're still, that's still up for debate, apparently, Queensland.
Hi, Queensland. We love you.
Everyone does.
I do love Queensland. It's so beautiful. And sun. Anyway.
Moving right along. It is Australia Day. Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day.
Australia Day.
Strawn.
So the tradition of having Australia Day as a national holiday on the 26th of January, it's a recent one. And so not until 1935 did all the Australian states and territory use that name to mark that date. So not until 1994 did they begin to celebrate Australia Day consistently as a public holiday on that date.
I'm quite surprised that it was so early, to be perfectly honest. I mean, that's under 50 years of starting it. I mean, I would have thought that it would have started closer to Federation.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, we talk about Australia being a very young nation. Mm. And I guess a way of asserting its nationhood, if you like, or identity is coming up with a national day. I mean, every nation has its day. It seems a little bit random that they picked this particular date.
Well, it was an unusual choice as an anniversary. Mm. I mean, obviously at the time, just when we talk about a young nation, obviously it's a young nation being colonised as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. It's quite, you know, obviously very old nation.
Yes, absolutely.
To the Indigenous people. But it's I find it quite unusual that they chose the anniversary of showing up.
Yeah.
But then again, what else did they have at that point in time? Well, I mean, Federation wasn't coming for another... Oh, gosh, my math, it's like 76 years or something. No, wait, no, 66. Oh, sorry. Someone who is good with maths, you can tell me exactly what that is.
112 years later.
112? What the hell? Oh, my God. That is really embarrassing. Mm. Please You can shame me, everyone out there. You may shame me.
But I think in terms of coming up with a national holiday, part of me feels like, and I'm sure there is an official reason out there, and if you know it, text in on 0427 joy949. But, I mean, Australia federated on, what, the 1st of January 1901? Correct me if I'm wrong. And that's
1901.
That's already a public holiday. So in the great Australian tradition of coming up with other public holidays, they probably opted for a separate date to that.
It's quite unusual that Australia Day, though, means so many different things, obviously, to Australians now than Federation Day. I mean, we kind of forget it, the day that we're federated.
Yeah.
I know I did just then with my mathematics, but it's quite surprising for me that I just find that, you know, Australia Day, because then it's a party day. Mm. I mean, it's designed as a party day, it's promoted as a party day, and it's also promoted as well. We were looking at, I was looking a lot at the lamb adverts that you see, and I kind of go, really? Really? That's the thing? But, you know, I suppose trying to support its industry.
As you're a token foreigner here today, I find it interesting that you guys have adopted sheep as your sort of Australia Day meal.
We adopt the amount everything.
Do you guys take everything from
New
Zealand?
Yeah, we do.
This is going to be a running theme, I think, throughout the show.
We kind of just steal everything.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to unpack a lot of what Australia Day means to lots of different people, certainly. It's become a bit more of a divisive day as opposed to a uniting day, and I think we'll talk a bit more about that as the show goes on. You're on The Kitchen Table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're back with The Kitchen Table. We're about to cross to our Kensington kitchen, where we go through the paces of our preparations for Australia Day celebrations. And we're actually joined by our friends from the Atlantic, across the pond, if you will. We have Tash from the UK, who's on her working holiday visa, and we also have Chris, who is bringing her American ways to this side of the world.
So, I am playing the role of the person who turns up late. So, the two options I have brought are the Australian meat pie. I have brought three varieties of. And I had to stick to, you know, your traditional meat, but I did do some slight variations.
Don't worry, we're eating the traditional snack food of Doritos.
Mm-hmm. So I have gone for the chunky steak and mushroom.
Ooh.
The chunky steak.
Ooh.
And a nod to our Kiwi cousins.
Hello.
Cheese and mince.
Cheese and mince? Yes. Ah, mince and cheese pies.
Yeah. So, yes.
I didn't do the victory dance, I did, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So it was graceful like a gazelle.
Uh-huh. Like a fish. So, yes.
Swimming, drowning on land.
Australians doing this whole thing of, you know, proud culinary blah, being meat pies. So I've decided to access pie face for it, not even like home style pies.
And they even put faces on the pies.
They do. I can't remember which one's which.
I like the grumpy face looking one, the one that looks like it's having an awkward moment.
But one of the things that I discovered in my whole research around pies is that depending where you are in Australia, there's a certain pie franchise that dominates that market. So along the eastern seaboard is Pie Face.
Okay.
And so that's what we see all over Melbourne. And Pie Face was actually founded in Sydney. They opened their first drive-through pie in Queensland last year. Amazing.
What does it say about Queensland, though, that is the first state which goes, I need a drive-through for pies. I can't go and get one from the store. No, I've got to sit in my car and eat the pie there.
Yeah, but how often do you eat pies when you're driving? I do that often.
Well, Americans introduced drive-thrus, so...
Yeah.
Look at what your people have done through colonization. We'll be talking about how some people call Australia Day Invasion Day later.
Mm. Amazing.
I know. Segwayed. Mm-hmm. And I use my deep and meaningful news voice.
But in Western Australia, the sort of the dominant pie franchise is Jester's, which tried to break it into Melbourne but was completely annihilated by Pie Face. So I find that interesting. And in Tasmania, where I recently was, something that I introduced Shannon to was the Tasmanian Institution of Banjos.
I like banjos because it sounds cute.
Mm-hmm. And it's a sort of, you know, referencing Australian literature.
Banjo Patterson, the poet.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a connection.
I'm going to cook some sausages because Australia does this thing where they call it snags.
Yeah.
And things. In New Zealand, a snag is a sensitive new age guy. Hasn't been seen since the mid-90s.
Yeah, I believe was usurped by the metrosexual.
I can't believe that. The snag was just such a sensitive guy and the metro just comes in.
I feel like the metro sort of put away a lot of the bullshit that the snag was pretending to be, like, sensitive.
Oh, my God. Like,
Let's face it, men can't eat their feelings.
Well, lucky for you. Don't you guys drink your feelings?
We drink our feelings. Yeah, apparently. Gross generalization, we mean it. Not, you know, blah, sexism. Oh my God, I can't believe you left all of that in, Shannon.
Oh, look, it's all about pies, really, isn't it?
It is all about pies.
A good pie. I do love a good meat pie. And I will say, actually, my mum, when she came from... my mother lives in the US, and she came over and she's like, they don't have meat pies.
They don't. In the UK, they have steak pies,
yeah,
which is a little bit related, but the meat and gravy mince wrapped in pastry thing is very much an Australian/New Zealand... thing.
It was delicious, and I do believe the victory dance looked amazing, and as you heard, graceful. Because it's, you know, you look at me and you're graceful, like a gazelle.
I do look at you and I think graceful, like...
like a giraffe.
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, I can't believe... Australians.
Australians.
So... yeah, so there are some important facts about pies that everyone should be aware of. I think a few years ago, a law was actually passed in Australia where meat pies had to actually have 40% meat. Mm. And meat could be anything. It just had to be from an animal.
So it could be horse.
If it's getting sold as a horse pie, it would have to have horse. Mm.
Yay. there was that whole thing recently where pies were being sold with, like, horse meat in it, and there was a big hoo-ha over that. But I really don't understand what people's discomfort was. Was it, like, the dishonesty or...?
I think it was the dishonesty, but people do have a weird thing about animals that were not used to eating and having in meat. Mm. Like, it's just, oh my goodness. It's like any animal or animals that I think that can also be domesticated.
Uh-huh.
Like, domesticated in terms of that they're pets at home. Well, yeah. Not horse you can't really put in your house. I don't know. Has anyone tried having a horse inside your home?
Text us. It's us.
On 0427JOY949. Actually, speaking of text, we did get a couple in.
We did?
Yes. We got one from Jim. Hello, Jim. Lovely to see you. Who says that we should change the date to the day the colonial referendum voted for Federation, which is more logical than New South Wales Foundation Day. Good point.
Yeah, I think there's a whole range of dates that we could have as more appropriate alternatives to, you know, the day that the British flag went up in Botany Bay.
And the funny thing is that Captain Cook wasn't the first to show up.
No.
A white person coming into Australia. It wasn't the first. It was just so happened that he sat down there and said, and now it's a British nation.
But it does sort of call into question a lot of, I guess, questions about our national identity.
And what we value as well. As, I mean, what matters most to us is the fact that we colonize this area, or the fact that we, you know, approve. And I don't think anyone can say that they would approve of what happened. But also, it does leave the contention about terms like Invasion Day, which we will be delving into a little bit further down the track. And I've also just been told shame on me by Johnny about my mathematics.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi.
It's a shame you can't be here.
Yeah, shame
about time management.
Wow.
And also what we were going into with the whole pie thing was we also exposed our guests to things such as pavlovas and of course we had a debate because that's what you do on Australia Day. You have a fight.
I should wash some of these. Now, do you eat kiwi fruit with skin on or off?
I give you a bread knife.
I would say off.
Off? Yeah, kiwi fruit.
skin off. This is a bone of contention. Text in. What do you? How do you eat kiwi? Skin on or off? 0427 Joy 949.
Or do you buy them a drink first? Ah, oh, boom. Oh, mum's proud.
You're hilarious.
You know what? My mum doesn't think so. Oh. But she's judging.
So the traditional way to make pavlova is, beat egg whites. And usually I make pavlova and ice cream at the same time because...
Yes.
Yeah, because ice cream uses the yolks and pavlova uses the whites.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's a cooking tip for y'all.
Y'all? Well, that's incredibly,
American.
Yeah.
All y'all. I've lived in the South.
We'll be talking about the effects of colonization later.
Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
My mom is from Georgia.
Where? Is she near Atlanta? Or?
Yeah. Wow, about 4 minutes ago.
So the traditional way of making a pavlova is having like a big base that you just pile a whole
He's
bunch.
Not talking about shit music. Big base. You know, like, oh,
Yeah, no, we're not doing dubstep. I will be dropping no bass.
we'll be eating pavlova.
Oh, that was hilarious. Come on, that was great.
Anyway, on to pavlova. So the traditional way of having it is having a dubstep fat base that you pile a whole bunch of cream and fruit on top of, and you cut it up and serve it like cake. I'm employing a more modern method of serving it up in sort of pre-made pavlova nests that you can get from any supermarket these days.
So is a nest what would normally be made from the egg whites?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, these are very little nests, but okay, we can work with that.
Make it work.
We can double nest. I'm a big fan of that. We can make pavlova sandwiches.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, instead of like serving up a big pavlova, like which is, pavlova piles of cream and fruit, is you set up little stations and kind of like, how you have tacos and each of the ingredients is in a bowl and you sort of assemble it, your guests assemble it themselves. I employ the same method with pavlova.
We planned this really well. There's no last-minute preparation happening at all.
No, not at all. Do you have four bowls, by any chance?
Flatmates do, because once again... I think I sold everything when I left New Zealand. Once again, everything's going to plan.
I love how you gave me the meat chopping board to chop up fruit.
I thought I had the meat cooking board, because it's red. Your one is blue.
Blue is meat.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. That is cooked.
Oh, this is annoying.
I'm just gonna
are not my chopping boards.
Yeah, these are annoying chopping boards. I'm going to go for the green IKEA option. That has...
The one that looks like it's being melted?
Yeah.
It's been used as a Triscuit.
$1.50 for two from IKEA.
Thanks, Swedes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to start sausages. Like a beautiful song. They're just in here. Just in there. So now... The sausages we're using is we're going for the traditional beef because everything else, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are these gourmet sausage companies coming up and everything's kind of this particular flavour. Like, this is mint and lamb or this is rosemary and tears.
Chicken and methadone.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
True story. So if you're not aware... We've actually bought these, but you can actually make your own sausages if you want to, but my God, that's painful.
A lot of work.
So basically you get some junk meat that you don't really need for anything else, and it doesn't really serve any real purpose, but once you've blended it with like flavours and other sort of fillers, then you're all good to go and you get to sell it as sausages. So very exciting. But the ones that we are using are plain beef. Oh, and it's 100% Australian. Look what the label says. It doesn't say...
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. This is about Australia Day and giving back. These are gluten-free. How delicious.
Mm.
Oh, God.
How delicious is gluten and gluten-free?
Oh, my God. It's never a good story.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
And welcome back to Joy 94.9. If you're interested in learning more about Australia Day, contact Patrick here on SMS on 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
You're making me sound like an expert. I'm very frightened.
So before those messages, we learnt one thing. Don't let Shannon in the kitchen with a microphone recording.
The commentary is quite illuminating, I will say.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I love the idea that we... Well, I wasn't here for this one, unfortunately. I wish I was part of the Australia Day celebrations yesterday. I was working. Darn. But I would have loved to have heard all the other sausage flavours that we could have come up with. Because the few that were there, what was it, something like rosemary and tears?
That's Shannon's favourite.
Yeah, you see, I think my...
It reminds me of childhood.
Yeah, I think my one would be a beautiful bit of parsley with tires.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I've had that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I chose to bring yesterday that I didn't try to capture on that audio was pavlova.
Mm.
Because I believe it embodies two great Australian traditions of mispronouncing foreign names.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the pavlova was named after Anna Pavlova.
Pavlova, ah.
Who's a, you know, ballerina who toured Australia and New Zealand in 1926. And it also embodies that great Australian tradition of stealing stuff from New Zealand, because although Mem Fox and other sort of people have attributed the pavlova as an Australian dish, it actually did originate in New Zealand. So that's a nod to Shannon. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Thanks for pavlova.
I resent that.
Half of my people.
I'm quite sure it really is. It is from New Zealand simply because I know Australia. And we are not good at just like, yeah, well, it's ours.
Yes. You're on the kitchen table with Patrick, Shannon and Christian.
And now we've really talked about food and stuff that Australians sort of like, this is our gastronomic journey. Mm. You know, you've had your pies, you've got your... We haven't talked about lamingtons, but they certainly are delicious. You've got your sausages, you've got your barbecue, you've got your cooking fish and all, you know, throwing shrimps on barbies. That's what your people do. Don't look at me like that.
We are going to look at you like that. We're going to look at you. We don't call it shrimp. It's prawns. Prawns, mate. Prawns.
But it's also important that we acknowledge that there are people in Australia who don't acknowledge Australia Day as a day of celebration, but they mark it as Invasion Day. And to many Aboriginal people, there is a sense of loss. Mm.
It does conjure up certainly a sadness. And it was something that Adam Goods, who won... Mm. Won Australian of the Year this year, yeah, for 2014, certainly remarked upon, is that he said, although it is a day of celebration for many, it also marks for myself, for, as he said, my mob, Adam Goods, was that it was a day of sadness and certainly a day of reflection, because it does mark certainly a beginning of an institutionalised thing. And I remembered I was talking with someone over my Twitter account actually about this, because there was a lot of negative response to people calling it Invasion Day,
mm-hmm,
mainly from faceless people. I find that really unusual, is that anyone who is, you know, obviously people who are against that, they usually have a picture of like a cat or something, and their Twitter name is something like Truth and Stuff, which I think is slightly lofty, but which, you know, you have a right to your own opinion, but their whole point is to just say, you're an idiot. And I was talking with this guy, I said, do you think that the term, though, reignites, I suppose, these old wounds? And he said, no, because the past, it isn't the past, it's history, and history is still very present. Like, history doesn't just say behind us, it's always there. Mm. And certainly you can take what you can out of that and move on. And that's not saying we ignore it. And that's something that Adam also pointed out, which I was very impressed with. As he said, I'm not saying ignore it. I'm just saying remember, acknowledge that, and then use that as a footing to start developing and increasing awareness of Indigenous rights today and for the future.
Mm, which I think is an absolutely admirable task. But for me, I guess, and I mean, there are other ways of acknowledging the impact on Indigenous people, and some people call it Survival Day, acknowledging that, you know, that the Indigenous...
It's a far more positive term.
Yeah,
it
I think so. And it's talking also about the resilience of our Indigenous communities here in Australia. But yeah, I find it interesting that every other country... Their National Day is supposed to be a symbol of unity. Like it's a time to express solidarity and celebrate a shared identity. But in Australia, particularly in the past couple of years, and this year for some reason, the debate is a lot more pronounced. It's
contentious.
Absolutely. Even amongst my friends who are all of sort of the same politic of, you know, who sort of share the same ideals, like on social media, I'm still seeing a very divisive debate going on. And it's a day that does divide our communities rather than bringing them together, which is...
There's a group called Creative Spirits, and they're quoting Aboriginal activist Michael Mansell, saying that Australia Day is a date whose only significance is to mark the coming to Australia of the white people in 1788. And it's not a date that is particularly pleasing for Aboriginals anywhere. And the British were armed to the teeth, and from the moment they stepped foot on our country, the slaughter and dispossession of Aboriginals began. So I do understand that there is a time when people go, well, isn't it time to move on? But you know what? Maybe it's time to sort of begin to acknowledge things, and a simple apology from a government figurehead might not be enough.
I think the great thing, though, was that the apology was, it says the first step. And they did remark, it is the first step. That is the first step to say sorry was by the Labor government. I think it was Labor government. They said the apology. I know that, but I'm just trying to remember exactly that one. However, it isn't moving on as such as saying ignoring it. There's a difference with moving on by ignoring it, which is what a lot of people want to do, because it is very... for a lot of white Australians who... it is quite brutal to think that our ancestors, or maybe not even directly our ancestors, but certainly the white community, have been responsible for a lot of this. And it's very hard to take in, especially if you believe yourself to be very forward-thinking and not racist or anything. It's quite a lot to take in. But you've got two options. You can either say, oh, well, it wasn't me and it wasn't my ancestors exactly, so boo to you, I'm not going to apologise. Or you can say, well, right, this is what has happened. How do I improve this? How do we improve that so that there is unity on a day of national... what should be national celebration, not for today, as I would remark, but certainly that we have a day of national celebration that says we are a strong, united community. And I mean, we have to look at the achievements both of the Indigenous community, the immigrant community as well, people who've come from overseas. Mm-hmm. I almost got that word out. And also, and of course, obviously, white Australian achievements as well, and contributions, whether that be negative or positive, in all regards and all cultures.
Yeah.
No, I sound a little bit airy-fairy, but that's just that's the way that I certainly, as a white Australian, try to move forward with this and try to be respectful and learn from it. And it's something that I want to pledge for a lot of us white Australians, especially for the future, is that today, don't just let today be your day of Aboriginal rights. Let every day be your day of Aboriginal rights, as anyone from any background.
I think for me, certainly, I mean, calling it Australia Day, calling it, you know, some sort of National Identity Day, if you like, really brings up the Republic debate and looking at those questions around what our national identity is. I mean, moving on from acknowledging our really dark history of our, you know, treatment of Indigenous people, but actually asserting a positive, independent identity.
And making today history. That's the thing, making a day history. Because we do want to, obviously these days of celebration, you do go back to the past. So then you say, well, how can I make today be a mark of history? By, you know, if we want to have, by pushing for a republic. I'm very strongly for having a republic. I know, although recently apparently there's been a lot more sway against it.
Yeah.
Apparently in the latest polls for the ABC during the 2013 election, when they had, oh my goodness, it was the Vote Compass, and you put up what was mattered to you, one of the pieces of data was that people weren't as keen about the Republic as that. Well, not many, as many people were keen about the Republic.
Yeah, no, I think, but I think it's particularly on a day when we're reflecting on, I guess, very old notions of our nationhood, being, you know, our national day, that isn't really a uniting date at all. I think it's an opportunity to reflect and go, well, maybe we actually do need to examine our identity. And I think Australians get a bit lazy about, you know, having a solid sense of nationhood. So, you know, I would be more comfortable if, you know, the Republic discussion did come up again. Mm. And certainly during the election vote compass, there were so many other issues. I think the Republic just debate moved down in people's list of priorities.
I mean, it's a very, very important debate, but I think there were a lot more pressing discussions.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Shannon, Patrick and Christian on the kitchen table. Yes, yes, Shannon, mics are live.
They are. Alive. Oh, well.
Did we mention this is Shannon's first go at panelling?
She's doing a bloody awesome job, may I just say.
This could have been more hilarious, and we're all aware of that.
And then you played Craig McLaughlin.
How hilarious.
And that wasn't a mistake.
That was on purpose.
I don't get it. Maybe I don't understand. What's the contention? Someone tell me.
Oh, it's...
How do you explain this?
I don't know. Very super kitschy piece of Australiana when Craig McLaughlin was on Neighbours and released a single.
Good for him. Good for him. How long did that fame last?
Oh, he went back to acting.
Good for him. I'm glad.
It was a good move.
It wasn't the worst song that we could have chosen, though. I thought it was kind of, it's kitschy, but it's all right.
We could have played something offensive from Kevin Bloody Wilson, which I did when I went to school one day as a small child in New Zealand, and we were told we could bring in whatever music we wanted, so I brought in what Mum and Dad played around the house all the time, and it was Kevin Bloody Wilson. So, yeah, that could have gone.
That could have gone badly. Mm. Hi.
Well, upcoming now, I mean, we've got a little bit of discussing about barbecuing, which apparently is... We're going to live up to this stereotype as Australians with our barbecues.
You're at the kitchen table.
On Joy 94.9.
On location. On the porch.
Yeah. On a balcony barbecue in Kensington. Hello.
And we're not even mid-40s and we're in Kensington. We're going against the grade.
We are barbecuing. It's radio, Shannon. You have to describe what we're doing. So we're barbecuing some onion along with some beef snags and some roux burgers. We're wrapped some barramundi in some foil.
And with some honey and mint.
Amazing.
So we're going to bake that. I've just had soda water explode all over me. Which is also part of summer, I guess. there's this thing, yeah.
Cooling down.
This didn't happen on the days where we were having 44 degree heat. Should I get a number? Yeah.
Yeah, some tongs would be great.
All right. There we go. I see what you're doing and saying. Christian, how are you enjoying the barbecue?
Yeah, good. I'm a bit uncomfortable with fish wrapped in foil on the barbecue. It's a bit of an alien concept for me, but everything else I'm comfortable with. Luckily, I'm not eating it, so hospitalization will not happen. To me, anyway.
I look forward to playing Russian roulette with my life. Did so previously when I went home for Christmas with my family, and my dad decided to give me food poisoning with salmon.
Amazing.
I know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And you're the one who was in charge of the fish.
I know. Oh. The situation can only go well. End well. So what does Australia Day mean to you?
Well, it's a day off work. I'm down with that. Look, I don't know. It's a weird kind of holiday. I mean, I know that I'm aware of the historical significance of it, and it does sort of, it makes me question why we would sort of, you know, celebrate that, well, pick that particular day as a day worth celebrating when there are so many other significant days in Australian history. I feel like we could have made a better choice about that. And look, I think Australia Day for me is a really good opportunity to revisit things like the Republic debate and whether Australia should be moving towards that direction. Look, I'm of the opinion that, you know, I'm one of these, like, Australians tend to feel like the Republic debate falls, there's kind of two camps of people. People either think it's like one of the most important things to us. This is like core to our, this is our national identity we're talking about. And, you know, unless we sort that out, we really can't sort out anything else. Other people think it's kind of like, if it happens, it happens. They don't really feel that it's an important thing. I tend to fall in the former camp of thinking that it is a really important issue. And I think, you know, should we come to the decision to become a republic, reviewing things like Australia Day or the significance of, that's when that opportunity will present itself.
I have to kind of... I realise I am a dirty foreigner trying to have an opinion. I know. A dirty foreigner trying to have an opinion on this.
Yeah, unlike the person running our country.
Oh, boom. that's right.
Should I take that off now?
Yeah, that'll be good to go. The thing is, it's kind of... New Zealand has Waitangi Day, and that's meant to be the day that, you know, the treaty was signed between the Indigenous peoples and the Crown, or the Crown representatives. But the thing is... I think what would be inappropriate, because there are so many overhangs with it as well.
Mm.
And what would be appropriate for me is if we celebrated something which was uniquely New Zealand, and that would be the Māori New Year, so that would be Marariki. But instead, we still are stuck in that debate where we think we should still look towards the Northern Hemisphere for guidance. Mm. And if we just celebrated Marariki, then that has no connotations with colonisation or anything, and we can all just hang out. I don't know, go to the beach and eat barbecues.
When is I should wash some of these. Now, do you eat kiwi fruit with skin on or off?
Do you? That's what it's about, kiwi fruit.
Yes. Do you peel them?
Do you peel your kiwi?
I feel that sounds like a kiwi's appealing.
You know, it sounds like a very unusual euphemism for something.
Peeling a kiwi?
I don't know.
Text in with your recommendation, 0427-569-949. What is peeling a kiwi?
Yeah, I think that could be a topic of debate.
So many things. Please don't harm my people. Australia.
Peeling a kiwi. Anyways, you're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. You're with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Oh, that's it for another week.
I'm very sad. Why do we have to leave? Aww. Well, because we've got something even better coming up. Well, just as good.
We've got Andy Mack with Three Chords and the Truth.
Yes, indeedy. So whatever you do today, however you celebrate or remember, we do want to say happy Australia Day, happy Survival Day.
And safe. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and get obscene and then caught and then lose your job.
Basically, be respectful, enjoy yourself, whatever this day means to you. Celebrate it in a safe environment and just know that there is tomorrow.
And wear sunscreen because it's pretty awesome out there.
It is pretty awesome. I don't have shorts though.
Oh.
I know.
You should buy them.
I really should.
Your legs aren't too skinny. It's fine.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.